Once in a while, we have technical difficulties, and for whatever reason, the logs are all screwed up for our music. Many of you know, we normally open with something a little bit more upbeat here. Welcome to a Friday night's installment of Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. This is a long haul for me tonight. The interesting thing is I could do this every single day. It's just a piece of cake. It's what I do. There's such a wide variety of things that we can talk about each and every day, each and every night, that I can make each hour unto its own. Thank you, Granny. Appreciate that. Granny number one. It's simply amazing. Simply amazing. Glad to have you here. I'm going to do something a little unique and special tonight. It is a manuscript or from a manuscript that I came across some weeks ago. I am desperately trying to find the balance of it. There are multi-parts to it. For the last 2 hours, I've been teasing the audience that Josie is coming. Some of you may get it. Some of you may not. For those of you who are maybe movie lovers, you may remember some of the advertisements that ran back when this particular film came out a number of years ago. And that was part of the tagline, Josie is coming. I want you to listen to this quote for a moment. Now remember, when things look bad and it looks like you're not going to make it, then you got to get mean. I mean plumb, mad dog mean. Because if you lose your head and you give up, then you neither live nor win. That's just the way it is. Josie Wales. He also said, to hell with them fellas. Buzzards got to eat, same as worms. My friends, there's a war underway in this country. The working middle class that built this country from the ground up are being systematically eliminated by a small cabal of super rich, powerful elite. The middle class was much like Josie Wales, a peaceful Missouri farmer just working his land, trying to make an honest living. Then a band of lawless thugs came along. They killed his wife and son and burned down his farmhouse. Man can only take so much before he gets mean and vengeful. The rich and powerful, the corrupt Wall Street bankers, the banker-controlled Federal Reserve, the bought-off politicians in Washington, D.C., they've been pillaging the middle class for decades. These are the thugs, the lawless thugs that came along to do unto us. Today, the Dow Jones Industrial sunk, or the Dow sunk below 12,000 points, the sixth consecutive week of falling. They dropped 172 points today to end their week at 11,952. The NASDAQ was down 41 to end their week at 2,644 points. The S&P 500 down 18 at 1,271. The global Dow off 32 points to close at 2,071. Oil was down 37 cents. That's probably the only good news out of it, but it still sits up there at just under $99 a barrel. Gold dropped $10 today to close at $1,533. Silver off $1.32, holding at 36.25. Platinum was down 16. Palladium was off 4. Rhodium was even at 2,100. The Wall Street thugs, they're pillaging. These thugs, these bankers, the Federal Reserve, these bought-off politicians, they've killed the middle class. And in 2008, they essentially burned down the worldwide financial system. Well, somehow they convinced the American public that the war was over. Small band of super wealthy individuals on the Boulevard of Greed, Wall Street. And in the putrid swamp of Washington, D.C., they blackmailed the American middle-class taxpayers by threatening to bring down the financial system unless they were handed $700 billion. Saved from bankruptcy by the Federal Reserve buying at that time $1.2 trillion of toxic mortgage debt. And provided free money by their sugar daddy at the Federal Reserve. And then the politicians jumped right up and absconded with another $800 billion of taxpayer funds handed out to their corporate political cronies in the name of shovel-ready projects and adding 3 million new jobs that never materialized. At the end of the Civil War, or the War of Northern Aggression, the Confederate guerrillas that Josie Wales had joined agreed to lay down their arms with a promise of freedom. But instead, the Union thugs began to mow them down with a Gatling gun. Now, that is perfect symbolism for what the ruling elite have perpetrated in the last 3 years. Within months of nearly destroying the worldwide financial system, the Wall Street desperados were paying themselves hundreds of billions of dollars in bonuses for a job well done. Plundering and sacking the American middle-class taxpayer. Oh, they certainly earned the bonuses, considering they could borrow from the Fed at 0% and earn 2.5% on treasuries, or they could pile into stocks and commodities, knowing that Uncle Ben would guarantee profits with QE2. In early 2009. Economist Jim Grant described the excessive response by those in power to a crisis caused by them. He stated these words. To try to exorcise the Great Depression, President Herbert Hoover deployed fiscal and monetary stimulus equivalent to an 8.3% of gross domestic product. To banish the demons of 08 and 09, successive administrations have spent or encouraged to be printed the equivalent of 28.9% of the gross domestic product. Now, a macroeconomist from Mars, judging by these data alone, would never guess how much more severe was that depression than this recession. The decline in real gross domestic product from August of 1929 to March of 33 amounted to a whopping 27%. That from December 2007 to date, just 1.8%. For a slump of 1/15 as severe as the Depression. Our 21st century economy doctors have administered a course of treatment more than 3 times as costly. Well, ultimately the gross domestic product fell 3.1% between the third quarter of 08 and the third quarter of 09. The government response has amounted to throwing $7 trillion. It's a $4.2 trillion increase in national debt, $700 billion of TARP bailouts, $200 billion of losses taken by Fannie and Freddie, and those figures we know are now well in excess of $300 billion, $100 billion of losses taken by the FDIC, and the Federal Reserve increasing their balance sheet by $1.8 trillion, $2.3 trillion. The numbers are just astounding. Of American tax dollars, they just keep throwing this stuff at the problem. But as a side benefit, they have thrown senior citizens under the bus by paying them 0% on their savings, not providing a cost of living increase to Social Security for 2 years, and hitting them over the head with 10% levels of inflation on food and energy, and frankly, it's worse than that. And so at this point, it looks bad for the working middle class, and it looks like they aren't going to make it through the next banker-made financial crisis. You see, the middle class just wants the chance for a new beginning. They want jobs. They know the country's been hijacked by the banking corporatocracy, supported by the corrupt political class in D.C. It is time for the middle class to channel their inner Josie Wales and get plumb mad dog mean. Not time to lose your head and give up. The middle class are being pursued by Wall Street bounty hunters and government crooks trying to finish them off. It's time to make a stand and fight. And yet it is essential that we know our enemies and how they achieve their power. As many of you know, it all began in 1913 with the creation of the Federal Reserve and the implementation of the personal income tax. Over the years, I've detailed how the baby boom generation contributed to our fiscal plight, how the actions of the Federal Reserve over the last few decades have impoverished the middle class and placed the country at the brink of collapse, and addressed the nefarious creation of the central bank. You remember the guy Fletcher in Josie Wales, that kind of the good guy, bad guy, but he really was a bad guy? He makes the comment, "There's another old saying, Senator. Don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining." And then we go to Ron Paul, who stated, "When the federal government spends more each year than it collects in tax revenues, it has three choices. It can raise taxes, print money, or borrow money. And while these actions may benefit politicians, all three options are bad for average Americans." Now, the senator pissing down the backs of Americans while telling us it was raining was named Nelson Aldrich from Rhode Island. No, he was a Republican lackey at J.P. Morgan who was the driving force behind the creation of the Federal Reserve and the passage of the 16th Amendment. That's the one that created the personal income tax. Now, his daughter married John D. Rockefeller, Jr. His son became the chairman of Chase National Bank. I wonder how beholden he was to the banker class. A decade before 1913, Aldrich had declared an income tax is communistic, and he was right. Karl Marx published his Communist Manifesto 100 years before my birth, in 1848, and it included 10 planks. I share with you now but two of them. A heavy progressive or graduated income tax, and secondly, centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly. Well, the United States had tinkered with an income tax during the Civil War in the 1890s, but the Supreme Court at that time declared it unconstitutional. Until 1913, the federal government was restrained from overspending because it was completely reliant on tariffs and duties to generate revenue. And without the ability to print money and tax its citizens, politicians could not roll out new programs and fight foreign wars of choice. My friends, the 16th Amendment changed the game forever. Think of these words. "The Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived, without apportionment among the several states, and without regard to any census or enumeration." You see, politicians pulled the old bait and switch on the American people. The initial tax rates of 1 to 7% were low. Didn't last long. By 1918, the top marginal rate, this is what, 5 years later, we'd gone from 1 to 7%, and by 1918, the top marginal rate had gone from 7% to 77%, because Woody Wilson needed to fund his war of choice. And believe it or not, during the Eisenhower administration, the top tax rate reached 92%. And I want you to think about this. Today, this very day, tax rates are still between 500 to 1,000% higher than they were in the program's inception in 1913. You see, the government is addicted to tax revenue. In 2009, they absconded with $1.2 trillion in taxes from American individuals. Does anybody think the bloated government bureaucracy spends these funds more efficiently or for a more beneficial purpose than its citizens could have? The income tax distorts financial planning and business investment. It encourages tax avoidance and invasion. The average American thinks income taxes are essential because politicians tell them thusly. The only discussion is about what the rates should be. But the country grew tremendously between 1789 and 1913 without a personal income tax. Income taxes do not benefit the average American. They drain wealth from the citizens. They hand it to politicians who then use them to bribe constituents for votes with handouts and fund foreign wars of choice. Well, we all know it gets a little bit more involved. The taxes they collect from us now are truly going to pay the interest on the national debt, except that they're not even covering that. But one has to understand historically, the IRS tax code has progressively been utilized by the rich and influential class to skew it in favor of those with the most lobbyists. Politicians get elected by promising benefits to the masses while being funded by rich people and big corporations. A tax code of 60,000 pages with over 600 IRS tax forms and filled with tax breaks for influential constituents, farmers, oil companies, homeowners, foreign corporations. You know what? Farmers don't even belong in that category. I don't consider the farmers of America to be influential constituents any longer. They're screwed, blued, and tattooed by the government that tells them what to grow it, how to fertilize it, how to GMO it. But not, it matters not. None of this is designed to benefit the average American. See, the tax code and the collections are basically used to pay off those who contribute to the politicians, those who control the tax code. Congress frequently holds hearings on tax simplification so that members can denounce the tax code's complexity. Congressional experts and impartial think tanks provide useful simplification ideas. And when the television cameras are turned off at 2 in the morning after the last idiot has stood up there in the halls of Congress speaking to a camera and nobody else, Congress swiftly ignores all of those think tanks and their recommendations, and they vote for more special interest breaks for their biggest contributors. And don't kid yourself, Israel's a big part of that. You see, the storyline that is pounded into the minds of all Americans is that 50% of the population pays no taxes and the rich pay an inordinate amount of taxes. The Republic rats and the demagogues fight a battle of false talking points to confuse and obscure the truth. That's because, as my granny tells me, you're dealing with a two-headed snake mentality. You see, the Republican mantra since the Reagan era has been to cut taxes and allow the free market to work its magic. They have succeeded in convincing a vast swath of Americans that lowering the highest tax rates have benefited the masses, which is all crap. An unfunded tax cut today is just a tax increase on future generations. Of course, Democrats went along with tax cuts as long as the Republicans went along with spending increases. Democrats hit the jackpot with a supposedly fiscal conservative president signing a Medicare D bill that added trillions of dollars of unfunded liabilities to our national balance sheet. Of course, the Republic rats are on cloud nine as a supposedly liberal anti-war president has increased war spending to $1 trillion a year while ramping up our foreign wars of choice. Everybody got what they wanted in D.C. That is what is known as bipartisanship. You know, before Reagan, the top marginal rates were kept high to pay for the social programs instituted by Congress and the wars of choice fought by a multitude of our presidents. But after 1980, in some sort of warped Twilight Zone episode, politicians across the land convinced themselves and the masses that they could have lower taxes, more entitlement goodies, never-ending war, an unlimited heaping of material goods with no adverse consequences. Guess what? They lied to us. They wouldn't do that now, would they? In 1981, the gross domestic product was $3.1 trillion. Today, it is $14.7 trillion. The national debt in 1981 was $907 billion. Today it is $14.4 trillion and climbing by the second. The amount of annual federal income tax revenue in 1981 was $347 billion. Today it is $1.1 trillion. The amount of annual federal spending in 1981 was $678 billion. Today it's $3.8 trillion. 1981, the year that Reagan took office and stood up there and said that government is not the solution, government is the problem. Nice speech, but, you know, how far did that go? Total consumer debt in 1981 totaled $353 billion. Today it's $2.4 trillion. Total mortgage debt outstanding grew from $1.5 trillion in 1981 to $14.6 trillion by 2008. Of course, we all know what's happened since. It's tanked. And the banks have foreclosed, and the short sales, and friends of friends are picking up homes for pennies on the dollar. Median household income in 1980 was $17,710, and now it's just under 50 grand, they claim. I know an awful lot of people that would be happy to be making $50,000 a year right now. Hell, that just might take care of putting food on the table for a year. All of that which I've just shared with you reveal an empire spiraling out of control. Delusional, living on borrowed time with borrowed money. The output of the country has grown by 474% in the last 30 years, while the national debt has grown 1,588%. Those two facts alone, my friends, paint a picture of eventual collapse. And the lesson of allowing politicians and bankers unfettered access to unlimited amounts of fiat currency backed by nothing but a hollow promise to pay is clear in the divergence of income tax revenue and spending. The dramatic slashing of top marginal rates from 70%, which had been in place for a 50-year period when the U.S. economy boomed, was supposed to invigorate the economy and unleash the free market spirit of our entrepreneurs. But a funny thing happened on the way to prosperity for all. Federal income tax revenue has only grown by 317% in the 30 years since the so-called Reagan Revolution. The CPI has grown by 289% over the same time frame, and therefore tax revenue is essentially flat with 1980 on an inflation-adjusted basis. Now, that wouldn't be a problem, except that the politicians we elected ramped up spending by 560% over those same 30 years. Federal spending has grown at twice the rate of income tax revenue. Yo, bug, meet the windshield, baby. I guess that is called supply side economics. But you see, my friends, politicians of both parties have promised the American public they could have low taxes and unlimited social welfare benefits and a house that always appreciated in price, electronic gadgets galore, and the true American dream of getting something for nothing. It was all made possible by your friendly Wall Street banker and their friends at the Federal Reserve. Two thugs of a color. All the data, the things I've shared with you, paint a dire picture for the American empire. But the next 10 years, if we last that long, is going to finish the job. Gross domestic product is stagnant as federal government spending props up the teetering edifice of economic activity. The national debt will reach $20 trillion by 2015. And that may or may not even include the Obamacare fiasco. It's on course to reach at least $25 trillion by 2019. And so both the Republican and Democratic plans to reduce the deficit are a joke. They don't reduce anything. They add to the debt. I would think, my friends, that the citizens of this country should be outraged by such fiscal irresponsibility and marching on Washington, D.C. with pitchforks and torches. But alas, there's no outrage across the countryside. That's because the vast majority of Americans follow the example of their beloved government leaders and live far beyond their means in a delusional attempt to borrow their way to material prosperity. You know, we talk about borrowing your way to material prosperity. I have just finished doing several things in my home. I completely renovated the master bathroom in the house, which is my wife's bathroom. I don't go in there. All new tile work. I did our own countertops, everything. Yeah, the toilets and the tub, all that stuff was fine. Had the tub resurfaced, new epoxy finish, things like that. There was no point in going to that massive expense. 2 years ago, we did the other bathroom. As many of you know, I've been in the midst of remodeling my office. I put in a complete all-new office furniture of the type that I should have had 30 years ago. It's the most pleasant place in the world to be for me. I've got my music. I've got my books about me. I'm getting my art back up to where I want it on the walls. This is, and eventually I'm going to build some very custom specialized bookshelves that actually take over the closet. They actually are hinged. They open so I can put things behind them. Every bit of this stuff I have paid cash for. It's bad enough I got a moderate vehicle loan on the car that I'm driving, and I've got a stinking mortgage out here, but my God, if I bailed out of this house, I would pay more to rent a two-bedroom apartment with no garage than I'm paying to make a payment on this dunghole I live in. But I'm going to make this place that I happen to like as pleasant as I can, given the circumstances. The point is, I paid cash. That's my material prosperity. I paid for it. I didn't borrow into it. The median household income in this country today has risen by 281% since 1981, and that is less than inflation over the same time frame. Hot dogs and chili mac don't quite cut it, or mac and cheese anymore. But too many people are eating that, and they're eating dog food, and they're eating cat food. You think I jest? Or they're diving into dumpsters, finding half-eaten sandwiches to survive with. And it's happening in America today, but you won't hear it talked about on Fox, CNN, CBS, NBC, ABC. Stay with us. Yeah, it's the old black magic, baby. We'll be back in a few minutes.
That old black magic that you weave so well. I got those icy, icy fingers up and down my spine. The same.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
This is an important message from hempusa.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
I think a little wind down music is probably in order. As the kind of things I'm sharing with you today to some degree becomes what I would refer to as vintage Bennett. I thoroughly enjoy and look forward to getting into the historical. The fact that I can find unique ways to tie it together with movies is sometimes enjoyable as well. But, yeah, I get excited. I get ramped up. I get angry. There was a film done. I'm going to give you a little bit of a paraphrase here. It was a film done back in the 1940s called Northwest Passage. Spencer Tracy, Robert Young, Walter Brennan, Ruth Hussey. Ooh, was she gorgeous. And it had to do with the story, the alleged Hollywood version of the story of Major Robert Rogers and his search for a Northwest Passage. And they've been out in the forest and the woods for months, and they've been hunting down these murderous Abenaki Indians, etc., and they finally come across the village and literally annihilate them. And one of Roger's rangers was kind of a twisted soul anyway, whose brother had been brutally tortured and murdered by this same band of Abenakis. And when they went into the village, he cut the head off of an Abenaki Indian and wrapped it up in a blanket and stuck it in his rucksack. And some days later, they're all getting pretty hungry. There's not enough food to eat, and they're making little stew out of little stink pans, little guppies, and all sorts of things they're finding. And and be careful of the bones, it'll puncture your stomach. And they see this guy, he's holding this thing, and what do you got there? What do you got in the bag? He says, no, you ain't hungry enough yet. Of course, he's holding the head of the Indian. Well, it's the same thing in this problem in America today. Americans aren't not just hungry enough yet. They're not angry enough yet. The reality is that the medium household is taking home less money today than they did in 1981 on an inflation-adjusted basis. And yet the McMansions and the Beamers and the computers and the 52 and 60-inch big screen TVs, the 15 other essential electronic gadgets that represent the current American dream, they've all been financed. Consumer debt used to buy or rent luxury automobiles and essentials like 4 televisions and 3 computers. It grew by 680%, more than twice the rate of median household income. Mortgage debt grew by an astounding 973% in the last 30 years. The so-called cost of homes went up, but the income did not. You see, my friends, the last 3 decades have been a faux American dream. The madness of the crowds has been replaced by the sober reality that the material goods purchased with debt steadily depreciate by day, and yet the debt stays firmly in place. Who benefited? Who lost during these 30 years of delusion? There's only one beneficiary from the issuance of trillions of dollars in debt, and that's the Wall Street banksters. The 10 biggest banks in the country hold more than 50% of the mortgage debt and 80% of the credit card debt in the United States. Well, the poor never had much, and they still don't. Politicians have averted riots and social unrest by pouring trillions of dollars into welfare and Social Security disability and SNAP programs and earned income credits and hundreds of other transfer payment bribes to the poor and to the illegal invaders. And yet the middle class has borne the brunt of the banker plundering and pillaging. No, nobody made you go out and buy that big screen TV or the latest and greatest cell phone or the iPods and all the other crap that comes with it. Only you did that. But boy, they sure dangled that carrot in front of you. And when you're hungry, that carrot starts looking real good. When you're hungry for food, the carrot looks good. When you're hungry for goods, the carrot looks good. When you're hungry to keep up with your next door neighbor, the Joneses, that carrot looks real good. You know, there's 3 storylines that are pounded home repeatedly by the mainstream media and the Republican Party ideologues. That more than 50% of Americans don't pay taxes. That the top 1% pays 38% of all the federal income taxes, and that increasing the highest tax rate above 35% would destroy jobs and kill small business owners. The misinformation spewed forth by the super rich who control the media and the politicians and the media message to disguise their continued looting of the American middle class is unrelenting. There are 117 million households in the United States with a median household income of below the average. It's 48,000. Data from the Tax Foundation shows that in 2008, the average income for the bottom half of taxpayers was $15,300. The first $9,350 of income tax is exempt from taxes for singles and $18,700 for married couples. And yet politicians of both parties provide credits for children, earned income credits, mortgage tax deductions, property tax deductions, and a myriad of other tax goody payoffs. It's not because they're nice guys. They're doing it for your votes. Votes to keep them in office for 30 and 40, 50 years at a crack so they can continue to get their pockets lined by the big mothers. When half the households in the country make less than $48,000 a year in income, of course, they're not going to be paying any federal income taxes. There's approximately 151 million Americans earning income. 73 million or 48% make less than $25,000. And as Wall Street and rich billionaires are interviewed by millionaire journalists on CNBC, scorning those who don't pay their fair share of taxes, they outsource the blue-collar jobs of those on the lower income scale to China and India. Without good-paying jobs, the middle class uses debt to maintain their American dream, further enriching the billionaire class in a circle jerk of death. It is a battle between a few thousand of the richest people in America versus the other 150 million. The facts are that the middle class and the poor pay a much higher percentage of their income in taxes than the rich do. The Social Security tax cuts off at $106,800. And therefore, the median household pays 6.2% of their income, while the rich household making $5 million per year pays 0.13% of their income. This applies to sales tax, property tax, state taxes, local tax, and a thousand other taxes and fees charged on your utility bills, etc. William Domloff notes that the top 1% who make $1.3 million a year pay only 30.9% of their income in taxes, while those making $141,000 a year pay 31.5% of their income in taxes. I guess their tax lawyers aren't as well paid. Even those making $34,000 pay 27% of their income in taxes. Well, the top 1% does pay 38% of the federal income tax because they got a 23.5% share of the national income. The last time the top 1% reached this level of income was in, 1928, just before the great stock market crash and the Great Depression. But during the glory years of the American Empire, between 1946 and 71, the top 1% of households' share of the national income ranged between 8 and 13%. And with the era of unbridled greed and debt that began in the 1980s, the inequitable distribution of wealth has risen to new heights. This level of pillaging by those in control of the finance sector of the economy, supported by their mouthpieces in Congress and championed by their controlled media pundits, has reached a level that will eventually lead to revolution. You see, the biggest lie pushed forth by the powerful super rich in this country is related to the top marginal tax rate, which, believe it or not, is currently 35%. Now, the Republican agenda includes a further cut in the top rate to 25%. Of course, it's sold to the American public as a good thing for them. Has nothing to do with them. The 35% rate applies to only taxable income above $379,000. And of the 151 million Americans earning a living, if that's what you can call it, that rate's only going to apply to about 200,000 people. The top marginal tax rates during the glory years of the American Empire were between 70 and 90%. Now, I'm not saying I'm in love with this whole tax thing, because it's out of line. They're ripping us all off, and we're getting nothing for it. You and I are paying for those of us who pay taxes. You know what? Even if you don't pay income taxes because of your exempt or your belief or whatever the case may be, you're paying sales tax, you're paying excise tax. If you got a phone, electricity, gas, water, there's various different oddball. There's a multitude of state, federal, county taxes compounded on all of those. So don't tell me you don't pay taxes. Unless you're living in a cave, in which case you're not listening to me anyway. There were so many loopholes written into the tax codes over the decades by lobbyists. They were paid for by the super rich. Lower tax rates on the largest sources of income of the wealthy, capital gains at 15%, explain why the average federal income tax rate on the 400 richest people in America was only 18.11% in 2008. That's according to the IRS. And that's down from 26.38% when the data was first calculated in 1992. Daddy Bush's term. Among the top 400, 7.5% had an average tax rate of less than 10%. 25% of those people paid between 10 and 15%. 28% of those people paid between 15 and 20%. The numbers are enough to make you vomit over. And yet the average American's share of their income going to federal taxes alone increased from 13.1% in 1961 to 22.5% by 2008. William Donhoff once again states, according to another analysis by Johnston, the average income of the top 400 tripled during the Clinton administration and doubled during the first 7 years of the Bush administration, so that by 2007, the top 400 averaged $344.8 million per person, up 31%. You know, these kind of numbers just go on and on. And they get to be too much for anybody to understand unless you're reading it. It's one thing for me to talk about it on the air, but for you to see it, to see the graphs, to see the charts, to get a distinct understanding of why all of this is taking place. Then you got hedge fund managers like John Paulson. Here's a cat who made $9 billion over 2 years, paid no income taxes at all. Now, in 2007, Republic rats and a key Democratic, Senator Chuckie Schumer, that's Upchuck Schumer of New York, fought to keep the tax rate on hedge fund managers at 15%, arguing that the profits from hedge funds could be considered as capital gains. Now, Schumer is the ultra-liberal champion of the poor. He knows who butters his bread. He may be the champion of the poor, but it's Wall Street that slices and dices for him. Oh, but it gets better than that, my friends. As long as they leave their money, known as carried interest, in the hedge fund, their taxes are deferred. They pay taxes only when they cash out, which could be decades from now. Oh, these upstanding citizens access their jackpot winnings by borrowing against the carried interest, often at rates as low as 2%. Now, I'm sure every youngster in America dreams of becoming a hedge fund manager so they can use system risking leverage to make bets on derivatives, reap billions in profits, pay no taxes, produce no value for the country. That is the new American dream. And so it's plain to see by anyone without an ideological agenda that a few thousand corrupt individuals have managed to gain control of the American economic system. The indoctrination of the personal income tax and creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913 have provided the means for the few to dominate the many. This is 2011, my friends. In just over 2 years from now, December the 23rd, 2013, the passage of the Federal Reserve Act will be 100 years of age. Passed on December the 23rd, 1913. And by February of 1914, the Senate Finance Committee was interviewing one Paul Warburg as the potential first chairman of the Federal Reserve. I have covered that story extensively in one of my four-hour series entitled The Mask of Dimitrios. Over the past century, a rich super class has created their wealth through issuing debt to the masses, writing the tax code in their favor through their creative politician protectors, using their own private bank to issue trillions of dollars in fiat currency and create inflation. They have used their control of the mass media to convince the average American that this was beneficial. Chris Swalen, in his brilliant economic history of the United States, entitled Inflated, How Money and Debt Built the American Dream, Swalen sums up very succinctly what happened. Once the two functions, controlling the amount of currency in circulation, and second, the government's fiscal operations are housed under the same roof, inflation and a decrease in the value of money are the inevitable result. It is always easier to borrow than to raise taxes. Politicians who have access to the printing press will invariably use it. My friends, the small cabal of banking elite committed the crime of the century between 2001 and 2008, far worse than what was done in 1913. They have used their power over the Federal Reserve and political class to reap hundreds of billions in ill-begotten profits. They have crashed the worldwide economic system. Don't tell me it hasn't crashed. Oh, it's still up there, pretending like it's getting along. Look at Ireland, look at Greece, look at, I think, Iceland was another one. Look at Spain. It's been destroyed. And now they're holding this nation hostage as they continue to extort trillions of dollars more in bailouts from the taxpayers. And as a reward for their chutzpah, they have paid themselves billions of dollars in bonuses. While 44 million people try to make ends meet with food stamps, these thugs continue to pillage the countryside, attempting to steal the remainder of middle-class wealth. As the middle class sinks further into despair, anger is building. The political class has tried to pay off the poor with entitlement payments, but it is the middle class that will revolt when their hope for a better life is destroyed by the moneyed class. With debt in the system expanding at hyperspeed, the American empire will not decline with a whimper, but with a bang. All previous fourth turnings in U.S. history have resulted in tremendous bloodshed. Tremendous bloodshed. All previous fourth turnings in U.S. history have resulted in bloodshed. And my friends, the next 10 years will follow this pattern. Powerful essay. The unfortunate thing about it is that much of this essay I am unable to I should not say unable to. Much of what we've talked about here tonight, specifically in this reference to Josie Wales, it was an analogy to draw you in. There's no doubt about it. Obviously, I represent Republic Trading Group. I certainly invite you to visit our website. Read through it. If the things we talk about at Republic Trading Group make any sense whatsoever, certainly I invite you to give us a call at 800-691-7898. Now, late last night, I posted part two of our series about Colonel Edmund D. Taylor and the conspiracy theory. This is something that Roger Sales and I alluded to on Wednesday's program. I will, over the course of the weekend, be posting part three. I'm avoiding the headlines right now because it just doesn't intrigue me right this moment. The information that I've shared with you in this essay on the last during the last hour, I think is a marvelous walk through history. I think it gives you an excellent idea why we're in the deep trouble we're in today. No, I'm not a big lover of the tax system in this country because it truly is designed to hurt the middle class more than anyone else. America was built by the middle class. America will fall on its assets due to the destruction of the middle class. You can talk about all the big rich boys they want, but what do they own? They own the media. They own the politicians. They own the banks. They own Wall Street. And unfortunately, due to the degree of indebtedness that so many Americans are involved with, they own America. They own the printing presses. It's what gives them so much control. But do keep watch on RepublicTradingGroupInternational.com. Next week's going to be an interesting week for me. Monday's Monday. Tuesday, you got 2 hours of Robbie, a couple hours of John and Bob Chapman. I'm sure Robbie will be on there, too. I'll be joining the program. Wednesday, the return of Roger Sales with his weekly visit. And next Thursday, right here on Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. Yeah, I can do it, Mike. Next Thursday, on Life, Liberty, and all that jazz, a program that I have looked forward to for a very long time. One of my contributing columnists at FederalObserver.com is born and raised in Palestine. You know, that land that doesn't exist. He left Palestine to go to school. He was not allowed to come back in the country. He's been gone for 17 years. He recently returned, and his reports are astounding. I look forward to every chapter in his reports. Ramzi Baroud will be a guest on this program next week, as he went home to see the destruction and the mayhem that has been caused by this perpetual war in the Middle East, this perpetual attempt by the Israelis and the Zionists to drive the Palestinians from their home, the home that the Israelis and Zionists will tell you was never their home. One begs to differ. I know my history. You want a Hollywood version, it ain't a bad one. Go out this weekend. Rent the movie. Buy. You know what? Go to Best Buy. You can buy it for $9.99. Kingdom of Heaven. And along with watching that and Lawrence of Arabia, my friends, you will have a far more distinct understanding of the Middle East and this whole crap with Israel and Palestine and the Arabs and the Muslims and the Christians and the Jews. My God, it answers so much. And the big hand in Great Britain and America that helped establish this nightmare that continues to go on. I have been privileged to be with you for this last 3 hours. I hope that you've enjoyed it. Hope I haven't worn out my welcome. But if I have, you'll get a couple days off, and then I'll be back Monday. Take care of yourselves till the good Lord sees fit to bring us together again without apology. I am Jeffrey Bennett.
Touch too much and all that jazz. You have got the lips that suit my taste, and your fingertips, they cannot be replaced. Oh baby, what you got nobody has, and I got you.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming.